Hello, everyone. I'm Drew.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Lacey.
And we're sarcastic, so let's get sinister. Hey, girls.
My head looks so small in this shirt.
I think mine looks weirdly baggy in, like, weird places. And I...
Are we all wearing sweatshirts?
Yes.
It's hoodie season.
It's cold today. It's been in the 80s, but it's 50 today.
Yeah.
It's rainy over here.
Hey, us too.
Yeah.
And me.
Well, Bailey isn't at home.
We're in Jersey.
Hey.
Yeah.
Awkward.
I was supposed to be in Dublin, but those plans fell through. So now I have
Ireland.
Yeah,
those are two very different places.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't just settle. you really from Ireland to New Jersey. Ooh,
same thing. Just kidding.
Were you flying to Ireland and then you fell out of the plane in Jersey?
No, what happened was the beginning of the year, me and my friends were going to go, and, like, I was on the fence until I wasn't, and was like, fuck it, I'm booked, like, let's go, and then my friend, her, like, side of things fell through, so I was like, well, I'm not working during those, like, 10 days that I took off for this, so I might as well go somewhere.
Did you get a refund for your tickets?
I got a voucher, yeah.
Okay, good. I was going to say, girl, go to Dublin.
I was debating it, but yeah. I'll be going to Dublin probably next year again.
Okay. Okay.
What are we going about today?
I'm going to tell you guys about Tristan Bailey.
Copier.
Okay, well, she's a victim, so don't be mean to her.
Oh, sorry.
I mean, I feel like you could have seen by the title of the PowerPoint that it was, she's a victim.
That could mean anything.
You're right. For those listening, the title says The Murder of Tristan Bailey.
That could mean anything.
All right, let's just dive in.
So young.
Yeah. Oh, no. She's very pretty, too.
She is.
So Tristan Tyne? I'm not going to say her middle name ever again, but I think her middle name is just Tyne.
T-Y-N-E.
Bailey was born January 18th, 2008. She was born to Forrest and Stacy Bailey. She was their fifth and final child. When Tristan was four, the family moved to St. Johns County, Florida. There, Stacy became a businesswoman, owning and operating her own hair salon called Brush Salon. And Forrest worked at Deutsche Bank in a private capacity. Tristan had three older sisters, Brittany, Alexis, and Sophia, and an older brother named Tegan. Together, the family called themselves the Bailey Seven. In May 2021, Tristan was a vibrant and passionate 13-year-old girl who embraced life with enthusiasm and warmth. Tristan was deeply involved in cheerleading, serving as the team captain for the Patriot Oaks Academy Chargers, and participating with the Infinity All-Stars. When she first started cheerleading, she had so much determination and drive that she'd teach herself skills like the splits or other various movements. Her mother noted that she had a drive in her soul to be the best and always gave 100% to achieve her goals. Beyond athletics, Tristan cherished her relationships with family and friends. She had a daily ritual of sharing the tea of the day with her mother after school. Her sister Brittany recalled Tristan's love for TikTok, Starbucks, and her unwavering loyalty to her cheer squad. She was known in her community for her contagious smile, positive attitude, and her ability to make everyone feel special. Doesn't she sound wonderful?
Yeah.
That's her siblings. She was 13 years old in seventh grade at Patriot Oaks Academy, where she was described as being very popular. On Saturday, May 8th, 2021, Tristan and her family went out to dinner. After dinner, they visited one of their adult daughters before returning home at 11:45 p.m. On the morning of May 9th, the Baileys were preparing to celebrate Mother's Day. Tristan's siblings were all up making Stacy breakfast. But at 9:40, Tristan had still not come down. One of the siblings went to her room to wake her, but Tristan was nowhere to be found. The family tried calling Tristan's cell phone, but the calls went straight to voicemail. They tried to check for her location on Snapchat and Life360, but both location settings were turned off. After having checked every single room in the house, Stacy Bailey called St. John's County Sheriff's Office to report her missing. While Stacy called, Forrest began searching the neighborhood. He created a social media post requesting the community's assistance with searching for Tristan. On the phone, Stacy told dispatch that Tristan was last seen at approximately midnight by another sibling and was supposed to be sleeping in her bedroom. As far as Stacy knew, Tristan had never snuck out of the house before, and Stacy stayed on the phone with dispatch, answering questions about Tristan's social life, mental health, etc., until police arrived on scene. Law enforcement immediately launched a search party. Deputies, detectives, and canine units were mobilized to begin searching the neighborhood. As word spread, residents of the community began joining the search. They started to spread out more, checking other neighborhoods, woods, and retention ponds. As the search continued into the afternoon, investigators began interviewing Tristan's friends and classmates. They received reports that Tristan had been seen with a boy named Aiden Fucci the evening of her disappearance. One friend, Dofus?
Okay.
Absher?
Is that his first name?
Yes, Doffis. Okay. He's a third, so there's two other Dofuses before him.
Have you ever seen the...
My baby.
She's not a fan of the name?
Have you ever seen the video of someone trying to, like, she's pretending to be a teacher, and she's staring at a name, and it says shithead, and she's like, is there a shithead? It's shithead.
Yeah.
Splitting that.
Yeah, he goes by Trey, so I'm probably just going to call him Trey.
It's a good choice.
Yeah. For him. Trey told lead investigators that Tristan had been at his house the previous night and left with Aiden at about 1 a.m. Trey told police that Tristan had come to his house, snuck around the side of the house to avoid security cameras, and left shortly thereafter with Aiden. She had been wearing black sweatpants and a black and gray t-shirt with pink on the front. The lead investigator, Deputy Robert Maloney, left Trey to meet with Aiden. Aiden confirmed that he and Tristan had left Trey's house at around 1 a.m., and he showed Maloney where they had gone. They did like a ride-along type thing. Mm-hmm. I use Dofus's name 36 times in this. I'm going to replace them all with Trey.
Okay.
Because it's hanging, it's getting me caught up. Okay, so they did a ride along with Aiden, and he kind of just retraced his steps.
Do we know why they were out past 1 a.m.?
I do.
Oh. Do I?
I think we will learn, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, you'll find out. So according to Aiden, they walked to, this isn't going to really mean anything to you, but they walked to North Dublin Parkway together before splitting up, each heading to their own homes. Aiden said he'd gotten home around 3 or 3:30, and Maloney was like, that's weird, because you live like not even a mile and a half away from Trey's house. Why did it take you 2 hours to get home?
Just taking a stroll.
So when challenged, Aiden changed his story. He said that he and Tristan actually continued to walk north along the parkway, but got into an altercation after Tristan grabbed his penis.
Huh.
What?
Aiden said that...
the old dick twist.
Aiden said that after Tristan grabbed his penis, he forcibly pushed her, causing her to fall to the ground and hit her head.
Okay.
Maloney asked if Tristan got up, and Aiden said that he wasn't sure because he was dizzy. You see, because he had been smoking the marijuana over at Trey's house, and he was feeling dizzy to the point where he didn't know what was going on. You know how you get when you smoke a de marijuana?
And you get so dizzy that you can't see if the friend you knocked down stood back up afterwards?
Yeah. Well, you know.
There, I guess.
Yeah, there's so much smoke.
Aiden said that after being sexually assaulted, he just walked around for those 2 hours. He just wanted to be alone to look at the stars.
I'm interested in what his next version of the story is going to be.
Yeah. Well, you see, it seems like we're not there yet.
Yeah, we're chipping away, but not quite.
So at this point, Maloney read Aiden his rights. Mm-hmm. Was like, just so you know, if you want to keep talking to me, these are your rights. After which, Aiden decided to stop talking. Smart. So what's kind of interesting is that, so Detective Maloney spoke to Trey and then Aiden, while Detective Kimberly Peluso from the Special Victims Unit, she spoke to them too. And what's interesting about that is that, wouldn't you think that if you didn't do anything wrong, your story would be basically the same?
No, because you're traumatized.
Because of the sexual assault or because of the marijuana?
Both.
Oh, dear. Well, when speaking to Detective Peluso, Aiden said Tristan was probably with a 20-year-old drug dealer whom she communicates with through Snapchat. Or, because I can tell that you're kind of like, what? She could be hanging out by the North Amenity Center, an area known for teenage drug use.
Yet he just admitted to do marijuana. But now he's making it seem like Tristan's the druggie.
Feels like he really wants to paint Tristan in a bad light, and I'm not loving that.
Just in his next story, is he going to say that, like, Tristan, like, stabbed him or something?
No. But he does say that detectives should talk to Tristan's friend, Shyla, because she would know more than him. Like, right. Go talk to somebody other than me, the vibe he was giving off.
You were the last person to see her, Aiden.
He also said that he had been trying to call Tristan several times that morning, but her phone kept going straight to voicemail. So he couldn't have done anything bad because he was trying to call her. He was looking for her too.
It's interesting that you're trying to call someone that apparently sexually assaulted you.
Mm-hmm. What I think is interesting is that Aiden said that story about the drug dealer. So then when Detective Peluso went and talked to Trey, told her that Tristan had arrived at his home around 12:30, but left with Aiden around 1. He said that he believed that Aiden had dropped Tristan off at the front of her neighborhood before he walked to his own house. Trey suggested that perhaps Tristan had been caught outside by her sister, or she may have left to meet up with that 20-year-old drug-dealing friend. Have you checked into him? Let's go look at that guy. But Trey did let the detective look at his phone, at his social media accounts. So there's that.
Okay.
So detectives soon spoke to some of Tristan's friends who said that they'd heard from Trey earlier that Tristan had snuck out to hang out with him and another boy. But the two boys went home after Tristan went to hang out with a 22-year-old drug dealer named Carlo.
Oh, so now he's 22.
Yes. He's a specific age. And his name is Carlo. And it just seems like they're trying to spin the story and they're telling all of the friends that this is what happened. Mm. Because this is what friends keep saying. We heard this. Anyway, at 3:30 p.m. on May 9th, they still have not found Tristan, but they successfully pinged her cell phone. Her phone was last located in a wooded area, but it was not actively sending a signal at the time, indicating that it was
dead.
Out of battery. Yes. Oh. Same thing. Oh. Tristan's disappearance was shared widely on social media, drawing more attention and help. At around 4:30, police were made aware of a Snapchat image being circulated.
Hmm.
The image depicted Aiden Fucci in the back seat of a squad car taking a selfie while holding up a peace sign. The caption he wrote read, "Hey guys, has anybody seen Tristan lately?"
Jesus.
The spelling is just amazing.
Yeah. The image that was sent to the investigator had been a screenshot of a screenshot. So in addition to this image, there was also other like comments on it.
Yeah.
One user said, "WTF Aiden." And another one said, "You were with her, Aiden. You know what happened to her."
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
So, yeah. After seeing that, the investigators moved towards seizing Aiden's cell phone. They started getting warrants. Around the same time, police obtained surveillance footage from the Durban Crossing North Amenity Center. The footage showed Tristan walking down the sidewalk with another individual at around 1:45 a.m. The footage helped narrow the search area back down. And at 4:50 p.m., a missing child alert was sent out for Tristan. At that time, investigators gained access to Tristan's phone records. They noted that Tristan's last outgoing call was on May 7th, so 2 days ago, to her sister. There were no records for May 8th, but on May 9th at 12:25 a.m., Tristan had an incoming call from an unknown caller. I think the no records for May 8th thing, I don't think it was like a complete record, or either that or like because her phone was dead, they couldn't get it because like she's 13. She's definitely doing stuff on
yeah
a day.
Yeah.
I have this clip for you. Oh, hold on. Oh dear.
Oh no, you have to go out of the, yeah. Aiden's also 13 at this time?
No, he's 14. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He is a grade older.
It always makes me like, I don't know, something about like this generation when they like do dumb shit and think that they can get away with it and the cops are like,
yeah, hey bud, we've been doing this for a while.
Hey,
Wayne Slick.
Hey friend, you remember that Snapchat you thought was cool that you posted?
Yeah. Are you watching this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Right here. See them?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, like, obviously you can see it's not a great image, but they were able to identify that the shorter of the two was Tristan.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had to identify this person. This guy.
Who is that person?
Oh, would you like to hear more?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. So, speaking with the Baileys, they were looking for their daughter, so they kept going back and talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest, Tristan's dad, said that he was actually able to access Tristan's phone records too, because he was the primary account holder.
Hmm.
And what he got was much more detailed. He said that he found that Tristan last used her cell phone to send a text at 10:51 p.m. on May 8th. They were also asked if they knew anything about a man named Carlo. Remember Carlo?
22-year-old drug dealer that's like obsessed with him.
Yes. Having done more interviews with Tristan's friends, they had gathered that Carlo was a 22-year-old drug dealer with a last name of either Bonatti or Lindo. He was about 5'8", with dark hair, drove a Ford F-150 pickup, and lived in Jacksonville. Tristan's sister and mom contacted one of Tristan's friends, who then contacted Carlo. He denied knowing Tristan. He was like, I don't know that girl. Police eventually caught up with Carlo and concluded that he hadn't been in the county for a week before Tristan's disappearance. So he was excluded as a suspect.
It's fair.
At 6:06 p.m., a resident named Daniel Hart had just finished going for a run when he decided to check the wooded area near his house. He immediately called the sheriff's office because he'd found a body. The deceased female was found in a wooded area near a retention pond less than a mile from where she was seen on the surveillance footage. Investigators rushed to the area where they identified the body as that of Tristan Bailey. The investigation shifted from a missing persons case to a homicide. Are you wondering, like, well, they didn't even wait to have, like, a medical professional come and say this is a homicide? They just assumed?
I'm assuming that there was something obvious about this.
Let me tell you. Tristan was found lying on her right side. Her right leg was slightly bent at the knee, while her left leg was bent at a 90-degree angle at the knee. Her right arm was extended and slightly bent at the elbow, and her left arm was bent at the elbow with her hand touching her chin. She was found fully clothed in the outfit previously described, plus Vans sneakers. Her hair was matted down and appeared red in color. If you recall...
She was blonde.
She's a blondie.
She's blonde. Her hair was soaked in blood. She had multiple stab wounds to her hands, arms, neck, and back. Crime scene technicians. Yeah, you think that was the clue that they needed? They were like, homicide.
Well, when you have stab wounds on your hands, which, just like it's defensive wounds. Like you're trying to block it, which getting, I don't know. I don't like the idea of getting stabbed in your hands.
Crime scene technicians located Tristan's cell phone nearby, along with a $20 bill, a pink vape, and a gold-toned ring. A partial shoe impression was found as well as a Powerade bottle. At 6:30 p.m., the investigators traveled to Tristan's home to provide the death notification. At 8 p.m., a resident provided police with his home security footage, which depicted Tristan at 1:45 walking with the same individual from the first tape. This is a reoccurring thing. Everybody had security cameras. So another reason why this person was stupid. The unidentified individual was wearing a light-colored hoodie and white Nike shoes. They were walking east in the direction of the wooded area where Tristan was later murdered. Then the video shows that at 3:27 a.m., the unidentified individual was walking back, heading west, carrying the white Nike shoes in his hands. Another resident's camera captured the same footage, except the individual was running west, shoes in hand. So, here's a little map. This is where Tristan's house is. This is where Trey lives. This is where the first camera caught Tristan and the unidentified individual walking. Up here is where more video footage of them walking was. Here is where Aiden's house is. So Aiden, Tristan, Trey. And then this is where Tristan's body was found.
She literally walked past her house.
Yeah.
So sad. She was right there.
I know.
That's why you don't walk with friends.
Oh, I was going to say anybody. Just boys. All right, so this one is a shorter video, because it's running,
Shorter.
so it's a little bit briefer.
Wow.
You see his hand, his he's got his shoes in his hands.
Yes.
There is audio too, of you can like clearly hear his feet smacking the pavement.
Yeah.
So,
Which you know it's a young person because no person over their 20s would be doing that because ow.
I mean, maybe they were just, it was 3:30 in the morning, maybe like an early riser.
Without shoes on?
Fair. Fair point.
That's the part that I'm talking about.
Okay. I was like, some people like to run in the morning, really.
Know that. I'm just saying, like, running with barefoot, ow, especially on pavement.
So
My arches.
at this point, detectives interviewed Trey's father. He said that he knew Aiden well because he and Trey skateboarded and hung out regularly. He said Aiden has a girlfriend named Zofie. Zofie.
I have what state are we in again?
Florida.
Okay. I have reservations about some of these names.
I feel like I can pick which ones you have reservations about. Okay, so he's got a girlfriend named Zofie, but Trey's father had never met her. But he'd also never met Tristan. He said he went to bed at 9 p.m. the night before and woke up at 6. When he woke up, he woke his son up at 7, and that's when he found out that Aiden had come over, which Trey was grounded, so he wasn't supposed to have anybody over because he was suspended from school.
Trey.
Yeah. It was only after, so then this is when like the police showed up and started doing their initial interviews with Trey. And then after the police left to go talk to Aiden, that's when Trey told his dad that Tristan had also been over at the house. Meanwhile, Aiden was being transported to the station. So while they were interviewing Trey's dad, Aiden was being transported to the station for further questioning. At this time, Deputy Maloney, who had since gone off duty, recalled that when he had spoken to Aiden initially, he'd conducted a pat down for weapons. He located a blue-handled folding knife, inspected it, but turned it over to Aiden's father after having observed nothing suspicious about it. The knife had been left behind, so while Aiden was being transported, another detective went to retrieve the knife as possible evidence. At 8:49 p.m., Aiden was placed into interview room 2 with his parents. So, a little backstory on Aiden before we dive into any more about him. Aiden Sean Fucci was 14 at the time, as I said before. He attended Patriot Oaks Academy with Tristan, and they lived in the same neighborhood. Despite that, they were described as only being acquaintances. Aiden lived with his mom, Kristen Smith, and his stepdad, Michael Ackle. His biological dad, Jason Fucci, was also in the picture. Not much is known about his personal life. I think they're trying to keep that private. But he does have brothers and sisters. The family had moved around a lot, I think, because of the divorce. Aiden had a history of behavioral issues, which classmates and teachers had voiced concerns about. But, like I said, not much is known about their family life other than Jason Fucci has a criminal record and his parents are divorced. Before investigators entered the interview room, Jason and Crystal, his biological parents, repeatedly made comments to Aiden not to speak about any possible involvement without an attorney present, and they both advised him that the room was being recorded. Now, in this picture, that's Aiden, obviously, in the green sweatshirt. His dad is the one with his back to us, and that's his mom standing up, okay? Now, it's important for you to keep in mind that at the very beginning, Jason and Crystal both told Aiden not to talk without an attorney and that the room was being recorded. audio and visual. Okay?
We know how 14-year-olds listen to their parents.
Yeah.
Okay, Lacey, I feel like you're putting a lot of blame on the 14-year-old here. Are you ready for this?
Oh, dear. What did his parents do?
Despite these warnings, the three continued to talk. Crystal told Aiden that the girl was found in their neighborhood down the main street. Aiden said, "Is she good?" And Crystal responded, "No, she's dead." Followed by, "That's why this is very important. It's all on you right now." Aiden responded saying, "How is it my problem?" And Kristen and Jason both said that Aiden was the last one seen with her. Jason asked if it... Okay, so moving forward, I want you guys to just listen and, like, pretend you're police officers investigating this. Huh?
I'm uncomfy.
Why?
Because of how they're talking like about a child. Well, no. Just the fact that how his mom is just saying that, like, oh, she's dead. It's all on you.
Be careful what you say. The last
one to see her.
Yeah. So it doesn't get much better. Jason asked Aiden if he understood that this was a serious situation. Aiden said he did understand. They both told Aiden that the Snapchat he posted was not a good idea. And then Jason asked if Aiden had any scrapes or anything, which Aiden denied, which is a weird thing to ask your kid who you believe had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Kristen then asked where Tristan went after Tristan and Aiden separated. Aiden said that she probably just kept walking, but Jason interjected, reminding Aiden that he'd pushed her down and then kept walking. Like, he was like, "You pushed her down. You kept walking." But then he cut himself off and said, "We probably shouldn't be talking in here." Smart. But then he just kept fucking talking.
Can I? You told me to get in the mindset of a cop.
Yeah.
This feels like they're doing the work for me. It's lovely.
Oh, Bailey, I'm so glad you think that way. Because strap in, there's more to come. Because even though Jason just said, "We shouldn't be talking here."
Right.
He pauses and then he says, "You walked away. You came straight home. You didn't turn around to see where she went." Aiden shook his head. Jason said, "Did you kiss or do anything with her?" Aiden confirmed that he'd kissed Tristan but denied doing anything else. Jason said, "So your DNA is going to be on her." No response from Aiden. Jason, "We saw your shoes were off in the camera. Why were your shoes off?" Aiden claimed his feet were hurting because the shoes gave him blisters. Crystal confirmed Aiden didn't sneak back out after returning home. She was like, you came home and you didn't go back out?" Aiden said, "Yeah." Then Jason told Aiden that the Snapchat he took made people on social media think he and Trey raped and murdered Tristan. No response from Aiden. Crystal and Jason discussed, like, what the police would do with Aiden. Like, can they keep him? Like, that kind of thing. And Jason was like, "I don't think that they have enough evidence to keep him." So then Crystal asked Aiden if Tristan really grabbed him and he really pushed her. What?
It's just, you know how they have, like, two-way glass or whatever?
Yeah.
I'd be on the other end of that just being like, "We're recording this for sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like,
we're getting this, right?
Are they on the payroll? Like, what are we doing here?
We're doing a great job.
Let's go. High fives, everybody." Yeah, so Tristan was like, Crystal said, "Tristan really grabbed you and you pushed her?" Aiden said, "Yeah." Jason asked if Aiden knew what happened after he'd pushed her. Aiden said no. Crystal asked if Tristan said ow, or, like, did she get mad? Aiden said she yelled out his name, he pushed her, he told her to F off, and then he walked away. That's what happened. Jason asked if there was anything to worry about. Aiden said no. Jason asked Aiden why he was damp or wet when he got home. Aiden advised he was wet due to water from a cup that he spilled on himself.
Mm-hmm.
Jason pressed Aiden on how he was wet. Aiden said he fell. So finally, after 10 minutes alone in the interview room, definitely not talking. A detective entered to collect a DNA sample, photographs, and fingernail scrapings from Aiden. Aiden's parents did not consent to this collection. They said, we want to wait till our lawyers here. So the detective left, and then they sat quietly in the recorded room until the lawyer came.
Oh my god, were they quiet again?
I said they sat quietly. I'm just kidding. That's not what they did. Do you want to know what they really did?
Talked more?
Yes. Crystal and Jason explained to Aiden that the police wanted to collect his DNA, or they wanted to collect all that stuff for a DNA test. They were searching their home and that they'd collect the clothes Aiden had been wearing. Jason asked if there would be anything on those clothing. Aiden said no. So here's where things go from like parents just trying to get a handle on things to like tampering.
Mm.
Crystal asked Aiden if he wore khakis or jeans. Aiden said he had worn jeans. Crystal again asked if Aiden was sure there was nothing on them. Aiden replied, I don't think so. Why? Crystal gave him a look and whispered, blood. She then said, when we looked on the camera, you were wearing khakis, right? Aiden then nodded. So then Jason then asked again if Aiden had kissed Tristan, to which Aiden confirmed. Crystal said she didn't see why Aiden would kiss Tristan. Tristan would grab him and then he'd push her. She was like, I'm having trouble wrapping my head around this story. So both parents...
So is the rest of us.
Yeah. Both parents told Aiden to find his story and stick to it.
Oh.
You know how you mentioned before that he had a history of behavior problems that like students and teachers had mentioned?
Yeah.
Does anybody think that maybe he has behavior problems because his parents have never once held him accountable for any action in his entire life?
Oh, okay.
I know. I know it's a crazy theory. I know, but like with an open mind, just think about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like maybe he's the way he is.
Can we?
Because they cover for him,
Lacey. When we finish, can we come back to that comment? Because there's something that I'd like to bring up that you guys don't know about yet.
Okay. Can you also not armchair diagnose?
Oh yeah. Like who the hell are you?
That's, like you ask. You work with kids or whatever, like...
I am being unfair.
They're trying to protect their son.
Yeah, in a very reasonable way.
Your testimony would not help... would not be admissible in court, because you've never met him, so...
Sure, that's true.
At 9:08, a detective escorted Aiden and his parents to another unrecorded room this time to meet with their attorney. While they were meeting with the attorney, Trey was taken... What, Bailey? What? What are you guys laughing
at? We just wish it was a recorded room.
Sorry. But also, I feel like poor lawyer. Because they probably go in and be like, we were so good, like, we didn't talk or anything. Yeah. But, like, once the lawyer gets this footage, he's going to be like, what?
Like, guys, you said it so many times. While they met with their attorney, Trey was actually taken to the station and placed into interview room 3, where he sat alone. So he didn't talk to anybody. But he was there for like an hour, and he voluntarily gave a DNA swab, and they like took photographs of like his hands and stuff. While he was there, his home was searched. A black hooded sweatshirt was found in the laundry room, and in Trey's bedroom, technicians found a pair of brass knuckles, numerous pairs of Vans sneakers, and a blanket with dirt. The sweatshirt, brass knuckles, and blanket were collected for evidence, and at 11 p.m., Trey was taken home. At around 10:30 p.m., Aiden and his parents returned to the recorded interview room. So, are you ready?
Yes.
They're back in the recording.
This was after talking to their lawyer.
Yes.
And an actual interview, or are they just in there alone again?
Well, There's, I mean, I don't think it's like an official interview, but there's a detective in the room now.
Okay.
Lacey, do they really need a detective in the room?
Yeah, they're doing fine on their own.
I was just wondering if this was going to be another thing where they're like, all right, guys, remember, they're listening, and then they lay it all out.
I think that, I think you'll commend them on a bit of an improvement that you'll find in this situation. So it was noted that as they were returning to the interview room, they seemed substantially more upset. They were all kind of like sniffling, and they appeared that they had been recently crying.
Aww.
Yeah, I feel like the lawyer was like, hey, you know,
it's you not guys good. Really, yeah. You fucked us over up. Here.
Yeah, you guys are also like talking. Like, stop doing that. Crystal reminded Aiden that the room was recorded and instructed him not to say anything. Which, to his benefit, he's not really saying much. His parents are just asking a bunch of questions. Anyway.
Why aren't we saying this outside the room? Even though, I mean, I'm loving it, but like...
Yeah. Yeah. The parents briefly discussed with the detectives about whether Aiden would be coming home that night. Then, Jason started doing something interesting.
Oh, no.
He began typing something into a text app on his phone, and then he passed the phone to Aiden. And then Aiden would read it, pass it back, type something back, and then pass it back.
A little bit smarter.
Yeah. So they passed the phone back and forth, and this was their way of communicating. Smarter, as Lacey said. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, nobody included Mom.
Oh.
You hate to be left out.
No. So, Crystal, unaware of the whole, like, incognito thing that they were doing, asked Aiden if he was high last night. Aiden stated that he was not, which, if you remember...
He already said he was.
Yeah, wasn't he?
Mary Joanna.
Aiden said that he'd smoked CBD last night, not THC.
What?
He said that THC gets him high. CBD does not. Crystal then stated... I'm just trying to think if you did something stupid, maybe something made you do it, so that would justify it.
Fucking parents.
Nothing could justify murdering a girl.
Maybe somebody made you murder that young lady.
Yeah.
It was the CBD.
A little before midnight, a search warrant was obtained to collect evidence from Aiden. A detective and a crime scene tech executed the warrant and collected DNA swab from his mouth, major case prints, a penile swab, which I thought was fun, fingernail not scrapings. What?
I said not for him.
No, that's why I thought it was fun. Fingernail scrapings, Aiden's clothing, and then they also took photographs. Then they executed a search warrant for Aiden's phone. Unfortunately, due to his cell phone operating off a beta operating system, which is one that has not yet been publicly released, the forensic software was not able to capture a complete set of data from the download.
Oh, that's annoying.
Don't worry, Lacey. It doesn't hinder the investigation at all.
I mean, it seems like they have more than enough at this point.
Yeah. At 12:44 a.m. on May 10th, several investigators in... Bailey, you think they have a lot already? Here we go. They executed a search warrant for Aiden's house.
Mm-hmm.
What was found includes a black Buck brand knife sheath located in the middle drawer of a dresser in Aiden's closet. Where is the knife? Excellent question, Bailey.
Thank you.
Tucked between the dresser and the closet wall were a pair of white, wet Nike shoes. But was found on them appeared to be blood.
That's from his drink that he spilled on him. That's why he came home wet.
Okay. Well, then under the dresser, they found a white t-shirt that also seemed to have blood on it.
Still drink.
He cut his lip.
Both of those samples were tested and resulted back positive for blood.
Yeah.
Nosebleed.
The investigators moved the dresser out of the closet because it seemed like he was hiding a bunch of shit around there.
Crazy.
And they found a piece of paper with handwriting and possibly more blood on it.
Did the handwriting say, this is how I'm going to commit murder?
I don't know. It doesn't actually say what the handwriting was. But in the laundry basket in his room, they found a pair of wet blue jeans. In the bathroom sink adjacent to Aiden's room, they found dirt residue around the drain. The drain tested positive for blood. And
that could be anyone's blood.
You seem to think the blood matters.
The investigators also confiscated a copy of the in-home surveillance footage. So, meanwhile, a girl named Olivia, who had previously cheered with Tristan, contacted police and advised them that she'd discovered a group chat on Snapchat between Aiden, Trey, and another one of their friends named Abton. I think that one might be a Middle Eastern name, so
okay. We'll leave that one go.
They, in the group chat, they discussed Tristan. Abton communicated vivid details on what he believed Aiden had done to her. Now, keep that in mind. They don't talk to him right away, but just keep that in mind. At 3:30 a.m. on May 10th, I keep mentioning the time and the date because, remember, they discovered her missing less than 24 hours ago. Mm. Aiden Fucci was arrested and charged with second-degree murder. That's all that they charged him with at that time because what they had seemed, at least to me, like a lot of it was like circumstantial. So as far as they knew, Aiden had been the last person to see Tristan alive. His statements were inconsistent and didn't really make a lot of sense, like how he left Trey's house and then took 2 hours to get home. They were able to identify Aiden as the individual who had been walking with Tristan in the security footage and who had also been running away from where Tristan's body was.
Because she grabbed his PP.
Well, yeah. Do you want to know how they were able to identify that? Because remember, the footage was kind of blurry.
Yeah.
So they put two and two together because he basically admitted it. When his parents asked him during that recorded interview that they weren't supposed to be having, when Jason said, "Why were you carrying your shoes in the video?" Aiden said, "'Cause my feet hurt."
Mm.
Not because he wasn't like, that wasn't me.
Yeah.
So they were like, okay, that must have been him.
That'll do it.
And then obviously they'd found blood on a bunch of Aiden's stuff, but they hadn't identified the DNA yet. So it could be a nosebleed. Circumstantial. When Aiden was placed under arrest, Detective Jacob Manning seized Jason's phone in an effort to preserve any evidence from the messaging thing that they were doing during their little interview thing. But I think that they were like deleting the message and retyping over it, so I don't think anything's saved. Stacy and Forrest had been notified that Aiden was arrested in relation to Tristan's murder, which less than 24 hours they had the murderer. Nice. So then, that was like at 3 a.m. They waited until like normal business hours to do the autopsy. It was performed by Dr. Bulick, and he did the autopsy in the presence of several law enforcement officers, a crime scene tech, and a couple people from the state's attorney's office. The autopsy revealed that Tristan had suffered a total of 114 stab wounds or cutting wounds.
Holy shit.
Right. Yeah. They were to the top of her head, the back of her neck, the back of both arms, and her hands, and also just her back. Some of the injuries to her hands were, sorry, Bailey, penetrating. So investigators theorized that she had been shielding her head when she was stabbed.
Mm.
Based on the nature of these injuries, investigators believed that the suspect had been standing over and behind Tristan. Really cowardly.
Mm-hmm.
Three stab wounds penetrated Tristan's left chest cavity and punctured her left lung, while one stab wound penetrated her right chest cavity and punctured her right lung. The doctor noted what appeared to be handprints on Tristan's legs. Based on the pattern, they determined that the handprints did not belong to Tristan. They tried to get fingerprints from those, but were unsuccessful. Dr. Bulick estimated the murder weapon to be a single-edged 4-inch blade, and x-rays indicated a metallic fragment on the top of Tristan's skull. According to Dr. Bulick, at least 49 of the wounds appeared to be defensive. So, also a little side note in the report, they noted that, they didn't go into detail about why, but I just thought it was, weird. Tristan had been wearing her shirt backwards at the time of her murder. So, the front of the shirt had all the holes in it, but, yeah. All of her wounds were to her back. And then also her bra was worn inside out. Yeah, I don't know if that's, a thing that kids do. I don't know. Just seemed weird. I was waiting to see if, maybe they thought that she was redressed. But they never go into that, so.
She was getting redressed, quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to, speculate because they never, go into it, but
yeah.
While they were doing the autopsy, they were continuing to search Aiden's home. This time, they found 8 pocket knives, a homemade shank, 5 black hats, and 2 sweatshirts. On one of those sweatshirts, found in Aiden's closet, there seemed to be blood on the right sleeve. That evening, Deputy Todd DeLissa with the SJSO dive team located a knife in the pond approximately 140 feet away from where Tristan's body had been found. The knife was a Buck brand folding knife with a wooden and brass handle. The tip of the blade was bent and broken. This knife was later deemed consistent with the murder weapon by the medical examiner.
Does that someone we know have a sheath for a Buck brand knife?
Yes.
Hmm.
Also, more evidence. Remember they found that metallic fragment in her skull, and this one is missing its tip? They also, around the same time, met up with a friend of Aiden's who'd been in the group chat. Remember Apton?
Yes.
He said that he just made up a lot of the information he was saying, but he also combined it with, rumors that had been circulating at school. He said that he wasn't really friends with Aiden, so he was never invited to go out with him and Trey, but Apton did tell police that he was aware that Aiden had pocket knives in his room. Which was confirmed because they found 8.
Yeah. How is he not really friends with Aiden if,
He's friends with Trey.
Oh, okay. But he's in a group chat with the 3 of them?
Yeah, I think that it was more of, an acquaintance-type situation with Aiden, but,
Okay.
I was getting the sense from the interview that, Apton was like, that guy is weird and I did not want to be friends with him.
Gotcha.
Tuesday, investigators had finished looking through the security footage from Aiden's house. In that footage, they watched the individual... Oh, hold on. I'm going to show you. Because I have it. Oh, here. Real quick. Oh, I'll just show you later. Stop distracting me.
Who's distracting you?
I don't know.
Okay. Because... one of us is playing with their child.
Who?
Not you.
No, I know.
And my cat is not here with me. I don't have any other children right now. And the other one is, doing other stuff. And paying attention.
Okay, so. This is Aiden Fauci's front door. Okay. Let me know if you see anything weird. There's the front door over here.
Oh, okay.
You see anything weird?
He's wearing his shoes or holding his shoes.
Yeah, and they appear to be Nike, don't they?
That, yeah. There's a swoosh.
Yeah.
But Nikes are the best.
It seems like they're confirming that that was Aiden.
I mean, but how many people walk down the street without their shoes?
At 3:30 in the morning.
Some people like to jog, as you were saying earlier. Oh my
god. So, in the footage, they saw that. But then they watched as Aiden went in the house. He went straight for his bedroom. But then he quickly... How could they see that? He has cameras in his house.
Oh.
Yeah, they weren't, like, looking through the window. They have cameras in the house.
Got it.
I've got some of that footage that I'll show you in a little bit.
Got it.
That is one of the drawings that they found. I think that... Oh, that's him. That's his mugshot. Isn't it cute? Oh,
he's got some terrible acne.
Yeah, maybe that's why he
sucks. So he went straight for his bedroom upstairs.
But then he quickly left his bedroom and went into the adjacent bathroom. Remember, this is the bathroom where they found the blood in the drain?
Yeah.
When he exited, he was wearing a bathrobe. Oh. He continued moving around for a while, but it was unclear what he was doing because the house was dark. So fast forward to the morning, Deputy Maloney arrived, remember, and spoke to Aiden, Crystal, and stepdad Michael. They spoke on the front porch, and then Maloney left with Aiden. This is when they went to retrace his steps, and he was taking that ill-advised Snapchat in the backseat?
Yes.
Yes. So while Aiden went with the detective, Michael followed with his cousin in a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal stayed on the porch talking on her phone for about 20 minutes before hanging up and going back inside. Inside, Crystal put their dog in the master bedroom, and then she went to the bathroom by Aiden's room. She picked up some things off the floor, and then she went into Aiden's room. She quickly exited Aiden's room carrying a pair of blue jeans. She took them into the adjacent bathroom and is seen on camera scrubbing the jeans in the sink.
They had grease stains.
About 2 minutes later, she left the bathroom and took the jeans to the master bedroom. A few minutes later, Crystal's husband's cousin's wife, Victoria, came over. Victoria and Crystal spoke for a while, then Crystal brought the jeans out to show her. They were seen inspecting the jeans together before Crystal returned them to the master bedroom. About 10 minutes later, Michael returned home, and he and Crystal ducked into the master for a few before Crystal emerged, carrying the jeans and returning them to Aiden's bedroom. Isn't that strange behavior?
It depends who you ask.
Okay, I'm asking you.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty strange.
Yeah, okay.
But again... To each their own.
But remember how she was saying how, like, is there anything on you, your stuff? And then she whispers blood. Do you think maybe she saw something on his shoe, his stuff?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, let me just show you this.
I think she was being a good mom and...
Just tidying up?
Yeah, cleaning his jeans.
Okay.
Didn't she also tell him to say khakis?
Yeah.
Mm.
And it seemed like, to me, it seemed like she was trying to hide them in the master bedroom. So, like, when the police came in to search his bedroom.
They wouldn't check the master?
I guess not.
What room is this?
Okay. So, I'm glad that you have questions. That looks like, I guess, the playroom?
Okay.
But if you look back down the hall.
Right.
That's, you can see her.
How am I supposed to pay attention to that when the fucking room is a mess?
I don't know. But there she is holding the jeans. She's scrubbing them in the sink.
Mm.
I wish Lacey was back. I feel like she's got a lot of fun quips.
I'm here.
Okay. Are you?
I have been listening.
Do you have any input?
Well, I thought I was going to say at one point, she got loud and I couldn't turn my mic on. I feel like his mom is just bringing people into the situation. Like, husband's cousin's wife. And she's like, hey, look at these bloody pants that my kid was wearing last night.
Yeah.
Like, why was that her business?
Well, I mean,
I was also curious about, and you might tell us at the end, like, how involved the stepdad was and what he thought of everything going on. But I don't know. It seems like she definitely told him about the pants. I wonder if he was the one who's like, put them back in his room.
Yeah, so my impression was that she saw blood on his jeans. And I mean, at that point, they didn't know that Tristan was dead. But she got nervous and she tried to clean them. And then she tried to hide them in the master. And then she showed her husband and he was like, you can't hide them. You need to put them back. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll find them. And if they find that you've hidden them, it's not going to be good. So, also, on Tuesday, police interviewed Tristan's friend Shyla. Now, if you recall, Aiden had told police that they should talk to her instead of him. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
Shyla told police, this is going to be juicy stuff. Shyla told police that she and Tristan only really spoke in school. Based on what Shyla described, it sounds like Tristan was like starting to hang out with a bad crowd, and Shyla wasn't about that life. She said, like, it sounded like Tristan was hanging out with kids that were a grade older than her, Aiden and Trey, and that was just like, they were hanging out with someone younger because they weren't cool. Nobody in their own grade wanted to hang out with them.
The street youths.
Yes. Shyla said that Tristan was she was in a group of people who caused graffiti damage to a sign. Shyla said that she knew Trey and Aiden, but she did not like Aiden at all. She said that he was a bad kid. Quote, the textbook definition of what you would call a numb kid. He had no feelings towards anyone. No feelings towards himself. She described his eyes as being as always appearing glossy with no meaning to them. She said he's the type of person you would see as a murderer. He just doesn't care.
That's horrifying.
Yeah. She told the police that Aiden would take girls into the woods to smoke pot and vape. Finally, Shyla said that Tristan had told her that she was going to hang out with Aiden on Friday. The following day, they interviewed Aiden's girlfriend, Sophie. She told the police that Aiden had anger issues, and she hated the things he did when he was angry. She elaborated, saying he just threw things.
Mm.
However, Sophie described an incident where Aiden was supposed to buy a vape from another juvenile, but instead, he beat the kid up and took the vape.
Oh.
She said Aiden always carried a knife with him. He had two favorites. One he named Picker, and the other he called Poker. Sophie described Poker as being a folding knife with a wooden brass handle.
He names his knives?
Just two of them.
Okay.
Sophie then turned Picker over to the police, saying that Aiden had previously broken that knife at her house and he just left it there. Sophie told police that Aiden often talked about killing people, including wanting to kill her. She said occasionally Aiden would take his knife out and pretend to stab her with it.
Why is she still dating this guy?
Excellent question. On other occasions, you know what? She was probably worried that if she broke up with him, he'd kill her. Because on other occasions, he'd sneak up behind her and put the knife to her throat and pretend to slit it. She told police that Aiden would draw graphic pictures depicting mutilated bodies, and he'd hide things that he didn't want his parents to find behind the dresser in his closet. Very consistent with where they're finding all this bloody stuff.
There's so many red flags.
So many. Aiden told Sophie at one time that when he got angry, he'd hear voices in his head telling him that he was worthless, a disappointment, and he should kill people. She then described a conversation she'd had with Aiden while they were sitting on her roof in April that year. Aiden told her that he was going to murder someone. The murder would be planned. He would find a random person walking at night, drag them into the woods, and stab them. He told Sophie that the murder would happen soon, within the next month. He planned to act innocent afterwards so he could continue killing people. And if that didn't work, he planned to run away and make people think he was dead so he could continue killing.
It seems like he wasn't fully prepared.
You don't think that that was a good plan? He was going to act innocent. Bailey, did you hear he was going to act innocent?
Okay, but he got on so many fucking cameras and then also didn't really have an alibi.
Yeah. It's almost as if he was 14.
And immediately when questioned by the police, he already establishes a gap in his story, saying, oh, we left Trey's house at like 1 or whatever, and I didn't get home until like 3:30. Okay, what were you doing during that time?
Yeah.
Nothing.
But I would say that was a pretty productive couple interviews with Shyla and Sophie.
Oh, yeah.
So, for the next several days / weeks, police continued collecting evidence. They obtained footage of Tristan walking alone in the direction of Trey's house at 12:35. They also got warrants to retrieve more video footage and cleaning supplies from Aiden's home, including scrub brushes, vacuums, towels, etc. During that search, they found towels with possible bloodstains, additional video footage, and a vacuum. They also got a warrant for Kristen's cell phone. However, they were unable to collect it right away because Michael, Kristen, and their other children claimed to be out of town due to receiving death threats. They basically told the police to talk to their lawyer. So detectives went to Michael's cousin's wife, Victoria. They asked Victoria, like, hey, what were you talking with Crystal about? She said that Crystal was worried at the time that this was more than just a missing juvenile case. So, I wonder what made her think that. She asked Victoria to inspect the jeans to see if she saw anything on them. Victoria said she didn't see anything odd, but she did take note that they were wet. Crystal told her she washed the jeans because she didn't know if there was blood on them or not. Victoria was like, dude, why'd you do that? Like, you could get in trouble for that. Which, foreshadowing. They were finally able to speak to Crystal in the presence of her lawyer, and they collected a DNA swab from her mouth. Detectives showed Crystal the video of her finding Aiden's jeans, cleaning them, and then inspecting them with Victoria. Crystal sat quietly, watched the video, and then refused to answer any questions regarding it. Before leaving, they did take her cell phone. They collected DNA samples from Michael, Aiden's brother Preston, and Jason Fucci. During another interview with Trey, they came in and did a recorded interview with Trey. He basically confirmed everything that Sophie had said. He reported that he and Aiden hung out every day, and he frequently spoke about death and killing. He told police that on one occasion, Aiden said that he wanted to slit someone's throat because it would be satisfying to watch the blood drain out. He also was able to identify the knife found in the pond. He was like, I'm 1,000% certain that is Poker. Trey told police that Aiden wanted to move in on Tristan, but he had a girlfriend. So if anything happened romantically between them, it was Tristan who initiated it.
Right.
Because Aiden was a good boyfriend. Trey told police. Yeah, he only he didn't really stab his girlfriend, so.
That's good a boyfriend. Game they were playing. It's, you know what? We can't kink shame, okay?
Yeah.
No,
Trey told police. Well, I don't think it's a kink. If not, everybody is participating.
A kink for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, at one point he said that Aiden told Tristan that like Trey crushed on fighting, which I don't know if that is like some kid slang where it's like, I'm crushing, like, I like fighting. But Aiden was like, and I like killing. And cool.
And everyone has their hobbies.
Yeah. Trey told police that on the evening of May 8th, Aiden had been wearing white Nike shoes because, and he knew this for sure, because he needed to borrow Trey's sneakers for skateboarding. He couldn't skateboard in his Nikes. He said that after skateboarding and video games, the boys smoked CBD marijuana around 11:30 p.m. before inviting Tristan over. Aiden asked Trey for Tristan's phone number, called her, and convinced her to leave before her sister went to bed. Trey said that by the time Tristan arrived, he was, like, falling asleep. So Tristan and Aiden hung out outside, smoking CBD. While Trey laid in bed watching TikToks.
Am I wrong? CBD doesn't get you high.
Yeah, that's what Aiden said. I don't know why they're smoking it.
Okay. Because it's cool.
Probably.
And you might as well smoke oregano. Like, Jesus Christ.
It makes for really good Snapchats.
Ooh.
The smoke is fun. Mm. So Trey's laying in bed watching TikToks. He dozes off. Tristan and Aiden come back into the house and wake him up. And Trey is like, guys, you gotta leave. I'm so tired. So they did. They left at about 1 at 10 a.m. When Trey was in the patrol car with Aiden, because they were doing, like, the retracing of the steps together, Aiden had been making jokes, but Trey did not think they were funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, they received Aiden's cell phone records on May 19th. Those records indicated that Aiden had called Tristan from Trey's house at around 12:25 a.m. on the morning of May 9th. On May 21st, the investigators received Tristan's Facebook/Instagram records and discovered a video in which Tristan was smoking from a pink vape, similar to the one that was located near her body.
Ooh!
On May 27th, Aiden's charges were changed from second-degree murder to...
First-degree
murder?
First-degree premeditated murder.
Why?
However, Aiden maintained his innocence.
Very important.
On June 8th, investigators received Tristan's Snapchat records, which indicated that she and Aiden had been exchanging messages on May 8th at around 10:40. So, that's the investigation. In my opinion, I have no notes. I think the police did a great job. They seemed super efficient. They were quick. They didn't do, like, a whole, well, maybe she ran away type thing.
Yeah.
Which, even though, like, there were a couple statements made where they were, like, I think Shyla made the comment, a couple of her friends made the comment where, like, she was, like, I'm just gonna run away. And, like, and I feel like some police officers would hear that and be, like, well, maybe she'll come back.
Yeah.
But that's not what they did. I think they did a really good job. They took really good notes because I got most of the information that I just told you about from reading from a 34-page incident report written by one of the detectives.
They also ran through, like, narrowed down suspects relatively quickly, too. Like, tracking down that drug dealer and being like, you couldn't have done it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it didn't help that they had, like, a number one suspect right away. You know?
Well, it also didn't help that he was, it didn't help for him that he was 14 and an idiot.
Well, to be fair, his parents weren't too bright either. So the grand jury indicted Aiden on first-degree murder charges, and he was set to be tried as an adult. Jury selection was set to begin on February 6, 2023, minutes before Aiden changed his plea from not guilty to guilty.
It's a good call.
Yeah. He admitted to killing Tristan, and as a result, I guess the trial was canceled. I don't know the legalese, but they called off the trial. They sent the jury people home. And Judge R. Lee Smith set the date for his sentencing hearing for March 24th. The sentencing hearing...
I was going to say, based off of what the... Oh my God, he does not look good. What
you can see his belly button.
We couldn't have gotten him a bigger size jumpsuit anyway.
No, they wanted to embarrass him.
Based off of, like, the cases I've, like, covered is, like, once you hit, like, guilty, like, you own up to your crimes, you don't need the, like, trial. It goes to, like, punishment phase. So, like, you bypass that.
They still had, like, testimony, though, at the sentencing hearing, I think, to present to the judge, like...
That it's, yeah. Making sure whether that he's or not, like, just saying...
Yeah, but guilty. Then also to be like, take this into consideration, judge, when you decide on what to sentence him.
We couldn't have gotten him a bigger jumpsuit.
I like it. I think it looks great. My favorite part is his belly button.
Oh, God. I don't want to see that much of him, though.
I'm sorry. Do you want me to find a different picture? No, I want him to be seen. The sentencing hearing began with impact statements read by Tristan's family, friends, teammates, her coach, teachers from the school, police officers involved in the case, and Aiden's grandmother also testified, but we'll come back to that. Tristan's sister, Alexis, for her impact statement, brought a glass jar and began her statement by dropping 114 teal-colored stones into the jar. Teal, because it was Tristan's favorite color, and 114 stones to represent the 114 stab wounds that Tristan suffered.
Wow.
It was, I watched it, and, like, I would not have wanted to be in the courtroom. It took so long.
But I mean, like,
It's impacted. Yeah, it's very impactful. But, like, the silence was deafening. Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too. It's, like, supposed to make you feel uncomfortable.
Yes, and I did. I felt very uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, so much so that I want you to watch it.
Okay.
Oh, perfect timing.
114.
Set it up.
I see that.
Okay. This jar now holds 114 stones, one for each of the 114 stab wounds that my sister had to endure. It was 1 hour and 42 minutes between when my sister was last seen and when Aiden Fucci was next seen, running out of the woods holding his shoes because his feet hurt. It's funny that such a simple statement can bring such anger. Aiden Fucci could show compassion for his sore feet, yet had nothing to leave for my beautiful sister. The number of questions I have for Aiden Fucci surrounding that night plague my mind. Did she see you coming at her with the knife, or did you stab her while she wasn't paying attention? Did she scream out for help, or was she paralyzed with agony? Did she cry for my mother? Did she beg you to stop? Did you hear her lungs gargling with blood? Or did you see it in her face when she realized she could no longer breathe due to her collapsed lungs? What were her last words? Did you stay to watch her die? Or did you leave her there in agonizing pain as you ran away? How long did she suffer? Did you watch the life leave her eyes? Do you know the answer to any of these questions? Or
I'm just going to stop there. I feel like we've been impacted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The part about his shoes and everything is just...
Yeah, like, oh, I'm so sorry, wow. Your feet hurt, baby. Poor baby.
Well, it's like, so many of these cases like this, you know, like, when, like, a judge, like, his, like, final saying to, like, a, yeah. It's just, like, yeah, just, like, twist the knife. I think she nailed it, too.
Mm-hmm. So these are stills from mom, dad, brother, and two sisters. Sophie, I think the youngest of the older sisters, didn't testify. Aiden's defense tried to encourage leniency from the judge. One of the people testifying was a psychologist, and the defense asked if Aiden could have been depressed and just like acting out.
Oh my god.
The psychologist said that his behavior was callous and doesn't demonstrate that he can be rehabilitated. Mm. He said that it takes a long time to inflict 114 stab wounds, so it doesn't give, like, control issues. It gives, like, he knew what he was doing and he didn't care. Or he wanted to do it.
It's also, like, we've mentioned it before, but, like, it's a very physical to stab someone and to do it over 100 times.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, but it is. Like, you don't do that by accident.
Yeah. You don't accidentally stab someone 114 times. It was announced during testimony at the sentencing hearing that the blood found on the knife and Aiden's clothing matched Tristan, which I'm sure we were all surprised about.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was tried as an adult, because he was still a juvenile, he was not eligible for the death penalty. When he looked, what he was looking at was 40 years to life in prison. Judge R. Lee Smith, before sentencing Aiden, said Tristan suffered a painful, horrifying death from someone that she trusted. He said this was the most difficult and shocking case he's ever presided over. This was not done out of greed. It was not done in retaliation, retribution, or revenge. It was not a crime of passion. It was not a crime that was committed because he felt rejected by her. It was not done in a fit of uncontrollable anger. There was no reason. There was no purpose. It was done for no other reason than to satisfy this defendant's internal desire to feel what it was like to kill someone. And with that, Judge Smith sentenced Aiden Fucci to life in prison on March 24th.
Good shit.
After 25 years, Aiden would be entitled to apply for a case review hearing. But he'll be, like, 40, so.
Because isn't there that, like, Supreme Court ruled that, like, when you're when you receive...
You can't be sentenced to life without parole as a juvenile. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's why he's eligible for a case review hearing. After his sentencing, Aiden was transferred to Suwanee Correctional Institution in Live Oak. And in January of this year, Aiden turned 18. Yay! So he was transferred to the Cross City Correctional Institution in Dixie County.
Fun.
Forrest Bailey spoke on behalf of his family after the sentencing hearing. He first spoke to Tristan. I'm not going to read it because it's going to make me sad. But he ended his little thing to Tristan with, "We will continue to hold you in our hearts, and we will always be the Bailey Seven."
Oh.
He then thanked the judge and added that Aiden's family found Aiden's family should not be mistreated because they are also in pain. Which, big of him.
Mm-hmm.
While in jail, how do you think Aiden is doing, has been doing in jail?
God, I hope awful.
Well, he's found Jesus. No,
oh, I'm just dear kidding. Lord. Okay.
He hasn't. I'm just kidding. He has not been a well-behaved little boy. He's been a bad boy. Multiple instances are documented showing him being involved in fights, having contraband, bullying inmates out of their commissary items, threatening other inmates, and just being combative and threatening towards guards.
You're telling me
he's been not, pepper sprayed.
He's not respectful to authority?
No.
What?
He's what I like is that he's been pepper sprayed multiple times.
Yeah,
and restrained.
I forgot I wasn't muted.
Who's yelling at you?
Sebastian. He keeps on flicking his tail in front of the camera.
Oh.
He's really cute and sassy.
I think it's great.
All right.
There's also reports of him bragging about stabbing a girl face to face, which he thought was tougher than just shooting someone. But I would like to point out that he didn't stab somebody face to face. He snuck up behind her and stabbed her in the back.
Well, that doesn't sound as cool when you're bragging about it.
No.
You know, stabbing a girl in the face already sounds cool. So you don't want to mess up.
Yeah.
God, he's idiot.
Now, I'm sure you guys were wondering, Aiden's mom.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her? Crystal Smith was arrested in June for tampering with evidence. This third-degree felony is punishable by up to 5 years in prison. She pleaded no contest to the charges as part of a negotiated agreement, and she was sentenced to 30 days in jail with 5 years probation. Tristan's family formed the Tristan Bailey Memorial Foundation, which helped enact a law in state Florida. Ooh. I feel like I forgot how to read. The Tristan Bailey Memorial Foundation, which helped enact a law in the state of Florida that restricts the disclosure of crime scene photographs of any minor who had been murdered in the state. So, crime scene photos of minors. What?
Was that like a thing they had to deal with? Like people were getting their hands on the crime scene photos?
I don't know in this case, but like I think just overall, like images of minors
are no longer available on the internet.
So going back to what we were going to circle back to with Lacey about how she thinks that like they never held him accountable. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that she found her son's pair of jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And first thought was, I better wash the blood out of them.
Yeah.
Rather than, what the hell?
Or yeah. Like,
or even like asking her son about it or anything.
Yeah. And then she like seemingly hid them.
Yeah.
Just something that I thought was interesting that kind of helped support your theory that they didn't hold him accountable.
Because I think it's one thing to want to protect your child.
Yeah.
And like, nobody wants their kid to go to jail. Nobody wants their kid to be a murderer, but they clearly were suspicious that he did it and that he was involved. And it wasn't even like they thought he had maybe killed himself in self-defense and that he shouldn't be punished for it kind of thing. It was like, they suspected that he just killed this girl. And they were willing to take steps to keep him from getting in trouble for it.
Also, without even like asking.
Right,
like, she without saw even the actually knowing, and immediately went to clean them
mm-hmm.
without even a conversation or anything. So it's almost like he's used to that.
Like, well, so this is like at that time, the police had just come to her house saying that we're looking for Tristan Bailey. We don't know where she is. She hasn't been seen since midnight, and we're getting reports that you were the last one with her. And mom is like, I'm gonna go search his room. She finds bloody pants and she's like, I better wash them. And then I better hide them.
Yeah.
Also, Lacey, you were blacked out at the time when I was showing that video. Did you like that playroom?
Oh my God. What? What the fuck?
I was like looking at the toys. They have like a gymnastics thing set up. Very cool.
Yeah, it looked like they took every toy that any child in the house has ever had and dumped them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't imagine that if your mom, you know, tries to cover when you murder somebody, that she also makes you clean up after yourself.
Oh, fair.
No.
Well,
because I think in that scenario, she's cleaning up after them. Yeah. By cleaning right. the jeans.
She was busy right. cleaning the jeans, so she couldn't clean the playroom. Guys.
She can't clean she's everything, Lacey.
She's only one person, Lacey.
I'm saying.
Can you imagine if Aiden didn't hide his shoes and his shirt, it, like, around his dresser? She would have cleaned those, too.
Yep.
Also, I'm sorry. For someone that, like, was so, like, I'm gonna murder someone, it's gonna be in the woods, I'm gonna stab her. You're rocking white shoes to murder?
And a white t-shirt. Like, I don't think he thought it through at all.
Did he not watch Deadpool? Brown pants. Or red.
And part of his whole plan, wasn't his plan like he was gonna kill a random person?
Yeah.
Which is always a better idea if you want to get away with murder. It was instead, one of he's like, I'm gonna kill a random person that people know I'm hanging out with tonight.
Yeah.
Easily traced back to me.
And there's also, like, record of us communicating.
And also a witness that we hung out with that night.
Yeah. Goofy.
He, yeah. But on the bright side, because he's so dumb. He's but I could see him have, like, 50 years ago, he could have been, like, a serial killer. That yeah. just would have been overlooked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, like, I don't know. I wonder if his mom was kind of afraid of him because he had so many knives. And I don't know. The stuff that he was doing to his girlfriend was very disturbing to me.
Yeah.
Like pretending to like slit her throat with an actual knife.
Mm.
Yeah. It's one thing to just like be talking about like I'm going to murder somebody, but then to like be like it's like okay, maybe we should revisit this yeah. situation. Anyway,
sounds like he needed therapy.
Yeah.
A lot of it. Anyway.
I'm remembering that he told Zophie that he heard voices, and I wonder why they didn't, like, try and push that.
Maybe they didn't even need it.
You probably can't diagnose schizophrenia.
Well, no, I meant, like, why didn't the defense say, like, maybe he's insane?
Oh, the insanity defense.
But like schizophrenia usually comes on board like
later.
Your young 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they presented that as an option and he just refused to go along with it.
Yeah.
He seemed like he would be that way.
Isn't there also a thing that you can't diagnose psychosis in like prepubescent because they're just their brains so aren't hormonal. Well, like
maybe there are things you can't diagnose. I don't know what they all are, but
so I mean, like, he'll probably get another psych eval in the future. Give him a few years, he'll probably get diagnosed.
I think that I read when he turned 18 before he was transferred to the new prison, they like had him at a medical facility for a week or something, and they didn't say anything about like why or what they were doing. They just said it was routine. So I wonder if they were kind of like seeing what he was up to.
According to Google AI, a child cannot be diagnosed with psychopathy. It's reserved for individuals over the age of 18. However, children can exhibit behaviors and traits that are precursors for psychopathy, such as callous, unemotional traits, but which are often identified as risk factors for developing psychopathy later in life.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though, because I feel like it's less of, like, schizophrenia type thing and more of just, like, his internal monologue. the voices that he's hearing is his own. All right, well, that was sinister.
And we were sarcastic.
And we hope you keep listening.